Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest edition of the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin. Kevin, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. And we're recovering from a cabin weekend right here, people.
Yeah. Did you know that detergent was a binding agent?
It was. I did not know that. Apparently, it makes water wetter. The conversation at the cabin this weekend was definitely a highlight and definitely a lot of laughs. But yeah. Do you know who hosted the cabin? What was his name?
Some bucket. I can't remember.
Some bucket. Yeah. I think his nickname is Buckets or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have our second guest in the history of the Junk Baller Podcast. Our good friend Mike Nichols is here. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Like you, recovering from the weekend.
Yeah.
It's not a restful weekend like usual. Usual times up at the cabin, but a good one nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. We did a lot, people. It was pretty much nonstop since, nine? We got there around 8. You got around there 8:30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much nonstop till about, 1 o'clock on Sunday. But a great time, and thanks for hosting it, and thanks for being here, mm-hmm. Being our second guest. We had Biscuit as one of our guests back in about almost a year ago. It's about a year since we've done our first podcast. I think it was last year? Yesterday, 1 year ago?
Yeah, March 18th of 2023 was an auspicious day in the history of the podcast. Ooh. Our first one.
So, you know, we've been doing it for a year. Thank you for listening, everyone. But I know we've been saying we need to get more guests on, and it's just been great that we actually are able to have Kev and I's very close friend, and, you know, it's just good to have him. So he's going to come up. We invited him to come on and have a topic to bring up. So we'll get to that. But Nichols, I have some questions for you just so the audience can get to know you a little bit. I'll go through a couple and probably just a fun one I got for you. So what made you love the game of baseball? What made you fall in love with the game of baseball?
Well, I tried playing when I was a kid.
Tried.
And was, terrible. Yeah. You know, back in those days, right field was where you put the worst player.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, Little League. And I played a lot of right field, a lot of it. I stopped playing, but I, you know, was kind of involved around with baseball. My older brother played through high school.
Mm-hmm.
But we also went to a whole bunch of, like, Trenton Thunder games growing up and Phillies games going to watch because I remember years ago when the Phillies were terrible, they had...
Wait, they were terrible?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What did the Yankees ever know about that?
But anyways, I remember you could, on packages of, like, I guess MLB, Frank's Hot Dogs or something, you on the top of the box was tickets to Phillies games. I mean, they were just nosebleed sections, but I remember going as a kid, ripping those off and going to them as a family. So, but as we got into, like, middle school or high school and stuff, I started getting a little bit more involved. But now lately just going a whole lot more, me, my brother, sister-in-law, my nephew get to go to a whole bunch of games each year. That's been kind of adding some specialty to it.
Yeah.
Going with my nephew and building that just kind of experience.
I've come along with you in a couple of the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So question number two, what's your favorite memory as a kid going to a game, you know, a certain game you went to, you know, certain person you went to, whatever.
I mean, as a kid, I don't know if remember a whole lot. I think the biggest ones would be just going with, like, those the cheap nosebleeds ones with the family, getting the whole family to go. So I can't pick out a specific one of those, but
yeah,
just kind of that family time was great.
Gotcha. Was there a game that stood out for you growing up that you remember?
I think for me it would maybe be more with the Trenton Thunder. I remember going to a bunch of those games, and I remember one, it wasn't my birthday party, but went to a birthday party that was, like, at Trenton Thunder. So, like, got to go on the field and, like, throw in stuff with players and things like that. And I remember having, like, a photo book at the end and seeing through that. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. What about the game that you didn't go to that I invited you to nonchalantly, apparently? The World Series game.
And goodbye.
Long story short, I told Nichols that if I had my dad had two tickets to the World Series game, and I told Nichols that if my dad doesn't go and my brother doesn't go, it's just I'll invite you. And so In my head, I was thinking, you know what? I'll just text Nixles, let him know that I'm excited that I'm going to a game. Well, I sent it as, hey, guess who's going to the World Series? And Nichols thinking that it's him, and I'm just like, oh, no. And so he responded back. I can't remember what you responded, but basically I was like, oh, no, it's just me and my brother going.
I think you said your dad's not going?
My dad's not
going.
Yeah. So that was, I will never live that down.
Nope.
But it's just how I am. I'm a jerk. Who are some of your favorite players growing up, or current players, if you want to go through that?
Growing up, I've always had a thing for catchers. Really like them. Now I look back on it, hate to say, but Mike Piazza. I was remember liking him as a kid, but obviously he's a Mets. I think that was before I kind of understood the rivalry.
Was that because he grew up in Narstown, which is the town over, pretty much?
Honestly, I have no idea why I liked him. Okay, I just remember liking him as a kid. Maybe it was the name. I don't remember.
I liked David Wright a lot, but I hated that he was a Met. So yeah. I feel you.
And then Chooch was a big one. Mm-hmm. And Lee were my two favorites during that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember that Lee, that nonchalant catch, the couple that he had.
Yeah.
He was just a fun player to watch, and I really enjoyed watching him, especially when he hit, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I always love to see pitchers hit. I mean, it helped us that they got rid of the they added the DH in the National League, but I missed seeing pitchers hit. And currently it's JT.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously. That's right. You and I have the same favorite players.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's go. Yeah.
It
was his birthday yesterday, I believe. Oh. JT's. But wait a minute. I thought Hector Neris was your favorite player.
Oh, don't get me started on him. I don't know why. I just could not stand him. I know why. I went to a number of games where he just blew it.
Yeah. And he was a good pitcher. That's what it bothers me, because he was a decent pitcher for the Phillies. All-time strikeout leader for a reliever for Phillies.
Yeah.
Not the saves leader, because that's Jonathan Papelpoopy.
Which is great, too.
But, yeah.
I think I went to one game where he gave up 3 home runs in an inning. And and the last person to do that for the Phillies before him was Hector Neris.
Yeah.
He was the all-time strikeout leader?
He is the all-time strikeout leader for relievers for the Phillies.
Really?
Or I believe so.
Yeah.
He holds some record for the Phillies, and you're like, wow.
It's strikeouts.
Yeah, because Papelbon holds the saves record because he beat out Jose Mesa. But, I mean, Papelbon was with us for 4 years, and he's hated in Philadelphia.
Literally everywhere.
Except Boston. He's loved in Boston. But I would put it out there that probably Yankee fans hate Jonathan Papelbon as much as Philly fans because of just... I mean, he grabbed his groin as he's leaving the mound, and he's like, yeah, no, that wasn't about you guys. I was just adjusting it, even though he, like, deliberately pointed his groin to the crowd and everything. Anyway. But, yeah, Hector Neris, one of your favorite players. I had to bring that up. That was something that I was looking forward to. It's just all the time. Anytime Kevin or Nichols and I get into a conversation about Hector Neris, it's always fun about how much you hate him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got any questions, Kev? Do you want to ask him?
When you were playing in Little League, when you got the chance to not be in right field, what position would you have preferred to play?
I remember trying to play some catcher, too.
Trying. Keyword.
Yeah, keyword. Yes, gotcha. Trying.
You two like being catchers. I hated being a catcher.
I was a pitcher and a catcher, all right? And I sometimes would play first base, or third base, but I preferred pitching. Pitching was my favorite. Why? Yeah. What do you got against catching?
I just didn't like it.
You're involved in every play. You're the quarterback of the field. It's the best part. It's brutal, but it's great.
I wanted to do everything but catch.
You're just like my nephew. He literally will not. He will do everything except he's like, no. When he talks to my brother, he's like, no, Dad, I'm not catching. I'm like, why?
And especially when like you're playing in Little League and half of the pitchers can't even find the strike zone, so you're chasing them around. You're like in a squat position for that inning. You're getting hit by pitches.
See, I went through that. And then once you get through that stage where the guys can actually hit the plate, or, you know, hit the glove, it's a lot of fun, especially when you're catching good pitchers, which I was catching Ray Gambone. Hopefully, Ray, if you're listening, like, shout out. He threw 90, at least probably 90 plus. I can't remember how fast, but the first time I caught him, he threw I can't remember which pitch he threw, but he threw one two so far out that I was like, crap, I have to block this. And I ended up blocking it with my bare hand, and I was just like, yep, that hurts. But Ray was a great pitcher. I think he got recruited to go play pitch in college. But no, there's nothing wrong with catching at all. It's fun. It's fun.
You can have an opinion.
Well, you can have yours. It's wrong. It's wrong.
Now, I agree with you that pitching was my favorite.
Yeah.
I loved the pitch.
Yeah.
Not you?
You didn't want me to pitch. I couldn't throw, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pitching was never any realistic possibility, so.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'm glad we got to get to know you a little bit, you know.
Thing I remember about Little League, I was so bad. I remember always standing far back in the box to try and get the catcher to try and hit the catcher's mitt. Because that was about the only way I could get on base.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Jeez. I didn't know you were that bad. And you played softball recently. Did you get better?
Oh,
or?
Yeah. I didn't really kind of hit my athletic prime until college. I mean, I was always so tiny. Like, it made it hard. That was part of it. But,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't break 5 feet or 100 pounds until freshman year of high school. So I was always.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, you and I were complete opposites. Yeah. I was this height and weight in eighth grade.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, same. Gosh.
Was that before or after you lost 30 pounds?
As before. Actually, I probably was actually heavier than what I was. I was a fat kid. I was chubby. But yeah. You got anything else before we get into the a top five?
I think I'd like to hear the top five.
All right. Nichols, what? Yeah, Nichols has graciously given us a top five. We do not know what the, we know what it is, but we do not know the list. So we are eager to wait. And Nichols, take it away.
Yeah. So my top five was top five walk-up songs.
Gotcha.
Now, most of them are more current, but there's a couple older ones. So number five, as much as I don't like this team, it's hard not to like Edwin Diaz.
I love how you went away from the microphone. Just say it. That's part of the podcast. I'm wrong all the time. Dodgers are not making the playoffs. Yes, they are.
So as much as I don't like the team, it is a fun song with the trumpets. It's just something different.
I agree. That's a good one. That's five.
That's number five.
I agree. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think it also... It was kind of like the peak Mets ever since they've kind of like through the last 2 years when they, as soon as they did that, they started going downhill just a little bit.
Love to see it.
It's just great.
It's kind of like when they started playing Who Let the Dogs Out in the 2000s with the Mets and it became their song. It was all downhill from there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I agree. All right. Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Number four.
Number four has to go with Money and Fame for JT Realmuto.
Yeah.
Favorite player and also my favorite band.
Yeah, you
need
wore
to,
the hat.
Need
here.
To breathe.
No. Yeah, your favorite band.
Didn't realize. So, favorite player and favorite band I had to put on the list. So,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Number four.
I actually kind of like that song. It's okay. I don't have it. I don't listen to it, but it's not bad. And you know, given that, you know, we hear it every time JT comes up and he's being our favorite player, it adds some weight to it. So, I agree. That's a good one.
Number three, I would do Welcome to the Jungle by Randy Johnson. Just a classic song for an all-time great pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a little bit before, like, I didn't watch a ton of baseball. I watched kind of the end of his career. I didn't watch a ton of the games growing up, but was around enough to know, I mean, who he was.
Yeah.
So.
Here's what I would do. You're the three that you've listed. I have two off the top of my head that I would put as 1-2. Right now.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if they're going to be your 1-2. And just based off of how much we are similar, I'm going to say no, given that it's probably... That was a dumb thing to say right there.
There's only one right number one answer.
I agree. And I'm wondering if number two is one of a former Philly.
No.
Oh, okay. It is not. All right. Interesting.
However, it is one of a current Philly.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I so I don't want to just say this because I'm, you know, obviously I'm a Phillies fan, but would have to go with Stotts A-OK.
That is a good one.
You know, it's every time he bats, the whole crowd sings.
Yeah.
But I especially like, I got to go to the wild card game where he hit the grand slam.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah. It was nice. You were like, you know, 2 feet away from
me.
But the next
not like the World Series.
The next at bat after that, the entire entire stadium was singing. It was just so cool here. Like you couldn't even hear the music. You just heard the crowd and it was awesome.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's a solid choice. You know, everyone goes along and sings with it. It's a really good one. I thought you were gonna do okay, so what's number one?
Yeah. I was Enter Sandman.
Yeah,
for Rivera.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, as soon as that music was on, the game was over. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you knew it. So, as much as I hated to hear that sound every time it came on, it was, you knew it was game. So.
Yeah, I 100% agree. That's who I thought should be number one. Yeah. That's what I would have put number one. I was wondering if you were going to put Utley at number two for him. It's AC/DC song. I can't remember the freaking song name now. It's blanking off the top of my head.
Well, I know for number two, what I was thinking was another AC/DC song. Trevor Hoffman, he would walk into mm-hmm. Hell's Bells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just, you know, with the bells ringing and the guitar playing as he's running into the mound. Didn't have the same quite a finality because Hoffman was a great reliever, though not, I don't think, in all time. Well, I shouldn't say
that.
Yeah,
I was about to say, he's probably top five all time.
I mean, he's top five all time, but...
like, closers don't get enough respect.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
Chase Utley's walk-up song was Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. Not AC/DC, I'm sorry. I totally blanked. But, you know, when he came up to the plate, I was like, this is... it's great. This is great. I also thought of... I always liked Shane Victorino's Hawaiian stuff when he would come up, but you know, I don't hear everyone's walk-up song that much, and just because you don't hear West Coast and stuff like that. But
right.
And we're Phillies biased, but I agree that Mariano Rivera with Enter Sandman definitely top.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Good list. Good list. I like that top five.
Thank you.
Not controversial at all. I don't think it's definitely solid, and I would agree. I would think that most people would agree with Bryson Stott's AOAOK as a top one for you. All right, so that's our top five. Nichols is chugging along, getting to know him, getting our top five, get a top five going. But the main reason why he's here is to tell us about how cool unwritten rules of baseball are, right?
How dumb.
Oh, how dumb they are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So enlighten us, please. Why are they so dumb?
They don't make any sense. They don't make sense to me.
Like, yeah.
It's just, I mean, if I was playing into them, I wouldn't be offended. Like, it just seems people get upset about it for no big reason.
Okay. Well, name a couple so that we can get this going.
We can start off with the big one, probably the most controversial one.
Okay.
I think people would disagree with, but not bunting during a no hitter.
Oof, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us why you think that is a dumb unwritten rule.
So I mean, your job as the hitter is to get on base and mm-hmm. break up the no hitter, right? Like, you're trying to win the game.
Yeah.
So why is a bunt any different than a hit, an infield single or a single to the outfield? How is that any different?
So my take would be that it is almost like cheaping a hit, given that you're not swinging. You're just putting the bat out there. So yes, you can get a hit with a bunt, but it's almost like you're almost sacrificing yourself just to put the ball in play and give it a chance,
but
instead of actually swinging.
Yeah,
because when you think of a base hit, what do you think of? Swinging the bat and actually getting a hit. What do you got?
A no hitter or a perfect game.
Oh, you think there's a matter to this? You think that matters?
I think it does.
Okay, I would have said both. I would have said to both. I would
like because what if you're down by like a run or two and there's a man on first or a man on second? And the bunt makes sense there because you're trying to move them over.
But even if it's say if it's a 1-0 game, you bunt, you're trying to get on base. Like, you could be the winning or the tying run. Like, you know, and if it was, you know, a cheap hit, why doesn't everybody just bunt every time? If it's easy to get a hit, it's not hard, easy to get a bunt and to get on base. Because most of the time when you bunt, your goal, you know you're going to get out first. Your goal is to move the runner along. So if you can bunt and get safe at first, I think that's impressive and not cheap at all.
So I don't disagree with your take that it's dumb, given that, you know, it still has the same outcome whether or not it's a swing or a bunt to get on. It's more of like, you know, it's just how easy it is to get to, because the guy's been, say it's he's got one more out to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been pretty much a perfect game. You know, he's got almost, say if he's got 20 strikeouts, pretty much been unhittable. Literally, like, it's almost like a cheap way to just get on base, basically. And because you didn't really earn it, you're just putting the bat on the ball, which is a lost art, I admit it. But you're not, like, actually trying to hit the ball. You're just squaring up the ball with the with the bat, with bunting.
Right, but if it was that easy, why doesn't everybody bunt every at-bat?
Because not everyone's good at it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. That's why I think that it, the chances of you actually getting on base with the hit, it, like, I don't have a problem with them.
See, honestly, I think it's, if you look, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I would assume the number of people that get on, safe at first on a hit, or on a bunt, is less than them swinging. So, like, less than the average. Like,
yeah. So why would they bunt?
Maybe that's their best way to get on. Maybe, like, if there's somebody who's quick but doesn't have great ball contact, you know,
yeah.
Getting on base is the most, for them, is going to be the most effective way. Like, for me, I'm not swinging for a home run because I can't hit a home run. I'm not going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
I would be a single hitter. And if, you know, you're somebody who's really quick but maybe not have a great swing, but you can get the bat on the ball and drop it down and can get down quick, that's going to be how you can get on base to try and win the game.
Dude, I do agree that there is a little bit of, like, you know, as I pitched in high school and, you know, I'd never had a no-hitter or anything, but there were definitely times when, like, I was going well and then, you know, a guy would just get, it's kind of almost like that annoyance, like, all right, he got on, but he didn't really earn his way on, whereas a pitcher has been pitching so, like, so well that he's earned that right to basically, the guy's like, hey, I've been pitching 8 2/3 innings of perfect innings, perfect ball, and you're just going to drop a bunt down to try to get a hit instead of trying to earn it, like I have earned almost 3 hours worth of pitching.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, it might have changed a little bit with the shift. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, especially when there was a shift, I would say bunt it every time. Like,
yeah.
And I think that would definitely go out the window. Like, I already think it's a dumb rule, but if, even if, say you're shifting and then I lay down the bunt, like, that's your fault for putting the shift on. Like,
yeah.
Your job is to hit where they're not. Your job is to get on base. And yeah. If you were to lay a bunt down when nobody's covering third, makes it a little bit easier, but you should have covered that up then.
Yeah. Like, okay. You got anything more?
I'm kind of in the middle between you two because I still think it's situational. Like, if it's 10-0 and there's like two outs in the ninth and you're just bunting it just to get on base, I mean, I think that's a pretty dumb move. Well, pretty jerk move to make. Because all you're doing is just, you know, you're kind of in a hopeless position. And instead of actually trying to make contact, you're just bunting as a cheapy hit. But I think there are circumstances where it's legitimate, where it's a close game or there's a man on. That's why I kind of wanted to differentiate between a perfect game and a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a perfect game, there's no one on base. So why are you bunting unless you're trying to just, you know, get that hit?
See, I think there's a difference between a swinging bunt base hit, like he swung and the ball dribbles and just the guy can't make a play, versus a bunt where you're deliberately like, I'm going to try to place this specifically in a spot that will end this guy's game. Because obviously it's different than actually if you swing and then it just happens to fall where it falls, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't have a problem. Like, it just, if it dribbles in between the pitcher and the third baseman and stays fair, it's a sucky way to have it end, but but that's how it ends. Versus a bunt where the guy's like, you know what? He is literally unhittable. I'm going to figure out a way to get this over with. I agree a little bit that it's situational, but I think that there's a level of you have to earn your way on type thing. Just,
but like, what if like you're a bad hitter?
You shouldn't be in the majors then.
No, you're batting in the ninth spot, right? And right after you would be the leadoff guy, right? The one who's going to get on base. And you're quick. You can drop a bunt on maybe, and it's a 1-0 game, right?
Yeah.
You get a bunt, you can steal second and then hope your guy's going to make contact. He's a leadoff because he's got a high average most of the time. Like, that's putting yourself in position to tie the game.
Like, I understand it. I think there's just a level of, not respect, but just that, like, there, you earned that guy, that pitcher has earned the right basically to that, because he's pitched. He can't cheap shot you. Like, if he hits you, all of a sudden, boom, it's no longer perfect game type thing. But like, you know, he's pitched through all these. So 26 bat, say if it's a perfect game, 8 2/3 innings, and he's at the 27th batter, and then, you know, he hits a guy. So then there goes the perfect game. He still got the no hitter, and then you went and got, you know, you bunted. You're probably getting beamed the next play just because he's lost the no-hitter, the perfect game, and the no-hitter. He's basically gone from immortality to Joe Schmo within the matter of, what, a minute. There's that level of, like, I didn't just, you have to earn it basically. That's how I view it. I understand your objective. I think that there is some validity to it, but I disagree with it as a whole. Yeah. All right.
The other one is don't steal bases when you're header behind a lot. You know, I think you say this all the time. You love baseball because up until last year, there was no clock.
Correct. Right?
And, I mean, that still kind of holds true is the game is not over until you get that last out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in theory, you can, like, in football, you get the ball and you can just kneel it. You can run out that time.
Yeah.
Right? Basketball, you can kind of hold on to it and just kind of waste the time.
Yeah.
You can't waste time in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, so the first out is just as impactful as the last out, basically. It's, you know, there's anything can happen.
So I understand what you're saying, but you trying to steal bases is technically prolonging the game. I know that there's a chance of getting that person out, but you're basically like, I'm going to score more runs just so that way I can score more runs, even though that you said that, you know, you can run out the clock in basketball, you can kneel and everything. Well, if you're in baseball, the fastest way to do it is just like, you know, because what if you're on first base with one out, okay? You steal, you're up 15-0. You're up 15-0 in the seventh inning, okay? There's a runner on first. You steal, get safe, and there's a ground ball up into the second baseman the next pitch, which would have been a double play.
Yeah, so okay. my thing isn't with the time is trying to run out the clock. Is my point is even if you're up, you know, there's been 12-run comebacks in the major leagues. Like, obviously, it's not a common thing, but it can happen. Like, in theory, you can score infinite runs basically in the ninth with two outs. Like, obviously, is it realistic? No, but it could happen. Like, so you're the game's never over. So yeah, you may be ahead, by a lot, but you still want to win the game.
Yeah.
So scoring another run is going to help you win that game.
Do you think there's sportsmanship in baseball? Do you think there should be sportsmanship? Like, do you know, not showing up the other team and, you know, and of a certain amount?
I mean, it's a tough thing. Like, I mean, obviously, like, yes, you want to be a good sport, but at the same time, it's like you're a professional getting paid millions of dollars. Like, who cares if I'm going to steal a base? Like, that shouldn't hurt your feelings that much, I feel like.
Okay. So if you were at the Phillies game, you know, you're dragging through it. You're just sticking out the game. It's 15-0. I didn't even keep saying 15-0. I don't know why that's like the standard. But, you know, it's the ninth inning, and you're watching the Phillies lose 15-0. Would you be annoyed if some guy stole second base?
Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
I would boo him, but I would understand it.
Exactly. Like, that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that it's kind of like the game's pretty much over. I know it's not officially over, but the game is over, and you're trying to either pick up stats or just prolong the game just to get another run and everything. Where I view it as, you have that little of like sportsmanship to, hey, I'm not going to run here because we're up a lot. And obviously the chances of it coming back to bite you are pretty much almost zero. Mm-hmm. It's not zero, but it's almost zero. So there's that level of sportsmanship that goes a long way. Now, if the team comes back 15 runs and then you lose it, you know, I almost blame the pitcher and all of everything else more than you not stealing one base if the lead got lost.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's, you know, a couple runs, you know, say you're up by 12 runs in the seventh inning, they get some in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, you get four runs each inning, there goes that lead, you know. And I think a lot of times it's, you know, the offense wouldn't score because, hey, we got 12 runs, it's 12-0, we won the game.
Yeah.
But the game's never over until that last pitch.
Yeah. You got anything? Because I heard you say, I think yours was more situational with this as well.
I think I'm a little more on Nickel's side with this one. And I think it's because...
What is this? What is this?
No, and I think he has a point about the game never being over until it's over.
Yeah.
When... Let's use that 15-0 situation again.
15-0, baby.
In the, in the seventh inning, there's like 10 people at Citizens Bank Park because they all left. They're playing the Dodgers or whatever.
Yeah. I've actually been in one of those types of games. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, I think we were all there, weren't we?
Oh, yeah. The Braves game that I didn't want to go to. Oh, my God. That was the only game I've ever not wanted to go to. And I kept telling everyone, I'm like, this is going to be bad. Boom.
But, I mean, if it's the seventh inning and you have three innings left to come back, it's not insurmountable.
That's a third of the game.
It's not unprecedented to have that kind of comeback. So you're still having a little bit of fight left, I-80. stealing a base. Okay, that gets the offense going. Now you get a base hit. You got men on first and third. Now you maybe he steals second and they get second and third, and then he gets a hit, and that brings in two runs. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, oh my goodness, they're going to come back from 15 runs. The Nails create that spark that the team is going to need to build the momentum necessary to get back in the game.
And I think with that, though, is, you know, baseball is you play in series, right? Say it's you're losing 15-0 the first game of the series, that one or two runs, even if you don't win, can make a difference for the rest of the series.
And I'll say that it's different from the first example because they're actually, like, trying to win, I guess, if that makes sense. If it's like a bunt, like you're saying, like they need to earn it.
Yeah.
I think they're really earning the stolen bases by trying to play to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can see that. I will say I have gotten softer on this issue specifically over the years just because I'm like, your point, you have to get the guys out. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that. Like, that's definitely true. You play to get the guys out. You know, you play to win the game. I still think that I'm much more on the side of, like, a little bit more sportsmanship. Not that, like, it's great to be up 15-0 and everything, but you also are like, you know, your competitor, they're already down. You're already kind of destroying them. You don't want to be a quote-unquote jerk and have someone. Obviously, yeah. Some guys are just soft. I agree. Like, mm-hmm. if I was a pitcher and, you know, I all of a sudden I'm pitching and I'm losing 15-0 and a guy steals a base, I'd be like, come on, dude, really? Like, I'm already losing a lot. Let's get the game over with and move on to tomorrow type feeling. That's where I'm like, you know, there's what?
I do think pitchers are some of the softest players in baseball.
I agree. I was one of them. I'm definitely a lot. I would say that I'm a lot different now, but like, I don't mind the bat tossing. The guy hit a home run. Congratulations. Yeah. You earned that. All right. I gave up a home run. I think there is a line though that gets crossed sometimes with crossing the line of sportsmanship. You're just like you're being like a little bit immature about it. Mm-hmm. I'm all for bat flips, all for making the game fun, but there is a line where it's like, all right, dude, like,
there's excessiveness. Yeah, to it, for
exactly.
Sure.
I agree.
Yeah. Same thing with rounding the bases. Like, you don't need to sprint around them, but if you're like walking, like, that's just
like Vogelbach with Garrett Cole, because Garrett Cole got upset.
Oh, mm-hmm, he's just not a fast player.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was like.
It wasn't that slow.
Yeah, no. I thought I was kind of on Vogelbach's side with that. I'm like, Garrett, come on, dude. That guy's like the slowest guy in baseball. They made a freaking commercial with him trying to steal bases because of the new rules. Yeah. Like, come on. They don't make that with anyone else.
It's spring training. Like, obviously, like, you're saying, oh, he's admiring. It's more like, well, why does he have to sprint around the bases? And
And then a week later, Cole's on the IL basically because of that. So, all right. So 0-2 so far. So it looks like Kev, you got Kev on the second one. So Kev, you're 1-2 with him.
It's 1-2. He's only given two.
Yeah,
you agree with one.
You agree with
two
one of them. You agree with one of them.
Well, I was kind of in the middle about the first one.
Okay, so what would you say? Are you, like, which one, do you agree or more disagree?
How about I'm just on my own side?
Okay. But we need to be divisive. Yeah. That's what
divisive.
Makes it divisive. That what makes the podcast fun.
I agreed with him on the second point.
Oh, my gosh. Gosh, what is this? All right. What's next?
So I think the third one kind of is pretty similar to the last one, but not swinging on a 3-0 count when you're ahead.
Yeah.
I mean, the pitcher's job is to throw strikes and gets out.
Yeah.
Right? The batter's job is to get hits. Like, people get upset by that. It's like, your job is to hit. Like,
yeah.
Especially with baseball, is so much of it is about stats.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be a meaningless stat, but that can mean a lot when it comes to your career and your, you know, Cy Young. Well, I mean, if your pitcher's Cy Young, but MLB votes like that, a home run there can make a big difference in terms of voting or things like that. Whereas even, like, fringe roster players, like, any hit is gonna help you bring up that average and things like that. So I think that's pretty similar to kind of don't stealing bases while you're ahead. But
hey, why don't you react to this
the
one
game's
first?
Not over till it's over.
Why don't you react to this one first?
I totally zoned out. What was it?
Wow, I'm that boring, huh? Not swinging on a 3-0 count when you're ahead by a lot.
I think you swing for it.
Yeah,
you're still out at the plate. You gotta make some effort.
Exactly. And I feel like in some ways, sitting there doing nothing is almost more disrespectful than swinging. Like, you're like, you're this bad right now that I'm not even going to swing the bat.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like the opposite of your last unwritten rule where you steal where you're behind by
15
like is what we should say. 15.
It doesn't really help your team, and that's sort of disrespectful in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, so prime example that of most recently happening was when Tatis swung at a 3-0 pitch and hit a grand slam. And you know, just let me finish. Let me finish my example. And you can see because I think they were up like I think they were up 8-0 I believe in the late innings.
Yeah.
And they're up 3-0 at the bases loaded. I believe no outs. And the pitcher was definitely, I think he was struggling with his command. And he hits a grand slam, and you can see as soon as he hits it in 3-0, they pan to Machado. Machado's like, oh, no. Like, because Machado knows that he could get beamed with the next pitch. Now, let me finish. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree that I think that there is a level of, hey, your job is to throw strikes. Mm-hmm. My job is to hit the ball right here. And it's probably going to be the best pitch I see all at bat.
Yeah.
If I'm because I'm looking at 3-0, you're looking at one spot only. If you don't get that, you're not swinging. That's what a good hitter will do.
Right. Yeah.
So in the example with Tatis got the pitch he wanted and he hit it. He's a good player. I had no problem with it. Machado knows that the baseball still is a little bit more old school with that type of mentality.
Right.
Where it's like, yo, you're up 8-0. The pitcher's struggling already. He could walk you on the next pitch, but you went ahead and we're like, boom. I'm slowly leaning towards the hitter on this. We're like, hey, it's 3-0. I'm going to take the advantage of it. Like, your pitcher sucks right now. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault. I do think that there is probably a couple situations that I'd be like, all right, you know, I'll let it go just because, you kind of want to see a pitch or something like that. But I understand there are definitely times when a hitter, you're like, you need to see a pitch like in your zone before you can relock in type thing.
And that might be the thing is you may want to sit there and watch him pitch, right? Because you have that advantage and you might want to wait and see a strike. But you shouldn't be, you know, worried about getting hit if you do swing on a 3-0 pitch because they're giving you a softball right down the plate.
Correct. That is probably the big difference that we're slowly going from is that I'm going to throw a 3-0 pitch. I don't expect it to get hit. And then when it does get hit, you're like, crap. But that's, I think that is the pitcher needs to be better with that. So I actually agree with you on this one. So
because the other thing is you can also hit into a triple or double play.
Correct.
And, you know, then people will say, well, why did you swing at that? Well,
correct.
You know, it's you're taking that risk and, you know.
Correct. Hands. No, I agree. All right. So you got both of us on that one. Look at that. You got me on the board with one. I'm 1-for-3.
Nice. I didn't really notice this one, but looking up, not swinging after back-to-back home runs.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Heard about that?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. Because when I was looking up trying to get more people were saying, yeah, you don't swing at the first pitch after back-to-back home runs.
Okay.
Which I think is...
That's really interesting. So one of the only time that I know that you take a pitch is that like, it used to be with the pitcher. Like if the pitcher just made an out and there's two outs, normally if you're the next batter, you take a pitch. That way the pitcher can get time to be ready. But that's not really an unwritten rule. It's more just courtesy. That's the only time I've heard to take a pitch. I've never heard after two home runs
you take a pitch. Yeah, I saw on a couple lists of people with unwritten rules.
Yeah.
Also, obviously, there's no set list for unwritten rules, but I guess some people view that as a...
Yeah. Is baseball the only sport that has unwritten rules?
Unsure. I feel like soccer must have some unwritten rules to it.
No, they're all pansies.
I don't think it's the only one, but it definitely has the most.
Okay, sorry. I didn't continue. I've never heard of that one. I wouldn't agree with that one. I would agree with you that it's probably dumb, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like the 3-0 pitch. If you have a meatball that's thrown right for you, why wouldn't you swing at that first pitch?
He's clearly struggling, so it's like, well, I'm going to take advantage of it.
That's
the point of baseball is you want to take advantage when they mess up.
Yeah.
And they messed up twice in a row. Let me try and make it a third.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. What else you got?
The last one that I kind of disagree with, I think is dumb, is not being able to like rub where you got hit if you got hit by a pitch.
Oh, that's more of just like showing your toughness type thing.
Yeah.
Nah,
I think it's dumb.
Like, you know, it's dumb. The thing is now they just let the other, the trainers do it.
Yeah.
So that way it shows that you're tough. You're just like, but what?
Continue your thought.
No,
first.
No.
It's interesting because now I'm thinking about this as you're talking about like toughness and baseball players showing their toughness. And you just mentioned how in soccer they have a bunch of pansies.
Yeah.
What about baseball?
Oh, yeah. No, they do. I think every sport does. Every sport. Other than football and hockey, probably. Yeah. Those are probably.
I mean, we talk about soccer having pansies and, you know, basketball players being divas. Baseball players, like, they freak out over the smallest things.
No, I would agree. I think we gotten rid of the arguing in baseball. I miss that. Like, balls and strikes. You can't argue balls and strikes.
Yeah.
And the same, like, there's, because of replay, there's no ejections or, like, barely any ejections. You have guys coming out, once a month to argue or a couple weeks before you're just like, wow, this is an intense argument.
But there's a difference between arguing a call and, like, you know, hitting a back-to-back-to-back home run and being mad about it. Get over yourself.
No, I agree.
Be better.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's like the example I think of is when we were playing league softball at our church years ago, and there's this one guy who could not throw a strike to save his life, so I just took every pitch he threw at me. I got like three or four walks in that game, and he yelled at me. He's like, swing that pitch. I'm like, throw strikes.
Throw
strikes.
It's a similar thing. Yeah,
I'll swing that pitch if you throw strikes.
Yeah.
But if you're just going to keep throwing balls like all over the place, I want
to
free base.
Why am I going to swing at garbage? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
and why would I not swing at a great pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, so that was good. Do you have any more? Because I have a couple that I'd like to talk about,
so
too.
So those are the ones I definitely don't agree with.
And okay.
I think going through the list, there was only two that I like really would agree with. Is don't step on the pitcher's mound.
So
I would agree, don't step, because I feel like with the pitchers, like, you're landing it, like, just avoid that spot.
Yeah.
Just because it's so, I kind of would view it kind of like that sacred space for their health, too. Like, you don't want to mess that thing, that spot up.
Yeah, because that happened, most famous one that I know of is A-Rod with Dallas Braden.
I probably wouldn't have much of a bias against it if it wasn't that.
So you're against it. So you're against us?
No, a bias against running over the running over the pitcher's mound thing.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with it in principle, but I think I can't really have an opinion here.
Yeah.
Because it had to do with Dallas Braden and A-Rod. A-Rod talking about how he's gotten his 15 minutes of fame and then he throws a perfect game and he was just annoying about it. And that's kind of turned me off to that rule. It's just like, get over yourself
kind of
thing.
So, like, also you kind of, some of the stuff is you go around the pitcher's mound, like, behind it.
Yeah.
Or, like, they've gotten rid of it. They can go in front of it, too. But normally you try to go, like, if you get out or something, you go around the pitcher's mound instead of where the ball would go directly to home plate. You don't really walk in front of there. You kind of go around home plate or around the mound as, like, kind of like that, I guess, danger zone. I don't know. But that's where the ball is being hit. So I agree that you really shouldn't be stepping on the mound. Like, if you go on the mound and just go exactly where the guy was pitching, you're just like, all right, dude, like, that was specific. That was intentional.
Yeah,
like, there's a reason why you did that.
There's,
like,
so much other grass that you could walk.
Yeah, like, the pitcher doesn't come and, like, walk off the field and then go to the batter's box and be like, yeah. You know, I agree with you. That's a good one.
And the other one I think I agree with is, like, pitchers having to stay in the dugout after they get pulled.
You think that's dumb?
No, I think they should. Those were the only two of the unwritten rules that I, like, definitely agreed with.
Okay.
You know, just like, yeah, you had a terrible outing. You may want to go to the locker room and sulk or whatever, but, like, your teammates watch you the whole game. You got to watch the rest of the game.
Yeah. Most of that actually is probably the guys wanting to know if they've, like, if they get taken out with runners on, they want to know if their runs are going to score and count to their ERA.
Yeah.
Because sometimes guys leave as soon as all the runners have been taken care of.
Yeah.
But I agree. There's, like, you know.
You shouldn't leave until the game is over. Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't be back in the locker room.
Yeah,
unless you're hurt. Like, that's the only reason you should leave the dugout.
So one of the reasons why they actually leave is to get their arm taken care of and everything. That's just how it is. Like, they get cleaned up. I think they sometimes come back to the dugout after they get cleaned up. But no, I agree. Have you got anything on that one?
Nope.
Okay. You got any other ones?
No, those are the ones that I had.
Okay. Yeah. You had the one that I was thinking of was the walking across the mound. That was one I was going to ask you about. But I figured I'd do a quick, you know, I did you know, just a quick search back a little bit. So here, so do not discuss a no-hitter that is currently in progress.
I mean, that's just like a superstition. Like, I get it, like, because he kind of, you mm-hmm. know, they, I mean, a lot of baseball is a mental game, so yeah. you kind of don't want to mess that up. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would kind of, I would say I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if somebody says it, like, they shouldn't be shunned for it. Yeah. Like,
you got it? You got anything?
I'm with Nichols.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it became a topic of conversation recently just because I think someone broke up a no-hitter right after someone said it.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, after the tweet happened, like, a very, I think it was Bob Nightingale. I think he tweeted about it. But another one that I still do.
Well.
Oh, you, what?
After what inning?
Oh, it was the ninth.
The whole game? Because there's people who mention no hitters and stuff like after the seventh.
Maybe not. I'm sorry. He probably mentioned it, I think, in the seventh, but it happened. Yeah. Like, he just was like, oh, he's got a no hitter going. But it was just like, everyone's like, no, don't say anything.
Because traditionally, what I thought was like after the seventh inning, it was okay to like maybe throw out, oh, this guy has thrown seven no hit innings.
Yeah. You know, you start noticing after the fifth. And I think after the fifth inning, you're like, oh, this guy's got a no hitter. Yeah. But you don't say anything. And then you got the two innings. You're like, okay, he's gone through the seventh. You're like, all right, he's got two more innings left. Like, we can talk about this. But yeah.
Well, I think it also depends. Like, if you're an announcer, you have to talk about it. Like, that's your job. Like,
yeah.
Your teammates may not say anything because everybody knows.
Yeah.
But your announcer is to talk about it. So. Yeah.
No, I agree. So the one quick one before we end the unwritten rule topic. You know how they have the foul lines and it's the powder, the chalk?
Yeah.
You step over it. I've seen players walk directly on it. I'm like, dude, like, that's part of the field. You can't, it's not like a painted line that can be, you know, just permanently there. But, like, they're kicking the chalk that, or walking on the chalk that is literally in the infield. I always stepped over it. And you'll see guys jump over it and hop over it. Like, I do not like it when I see players walk directly on the line. I'm like, seriously? It's so dumb, but I'm like, it's part of, like, you can.
That's my point. Unwritten rules are dumb for the most part. Like, okay, yeah, you may avoid it, but, like, who cares that much? Why do you have to step over it?
It's more of just like, I don't know if it's like the grounds crew. They took care of the field, like the field, and you're just like, I'm just going to step, especially before the game.
I thought it was more of a superstition thing too.
I think it's
more of like not stepping on that line because it's bad luck.
Okay. I've done it. I've done it both ways. I've done it like, I don't do it because I'm going to mess up the field, and two, it's bad luck.
I mean, do you intentionally not step? I mean, there's all the chalk around the batter's box. Do you intentionally not step on that?
So the batter's box is different because that doesn't affect a foul ball or fair ball. That affects, you know, your, but I also never was a guy that like got rid of the chalk or anything. Like I dug in right at like back, you know, dug my right foot in a couple times and then boom, I'm ready.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right. Anybody else on the unwritten rules? Anyone more before we move into our, last section? That was pretty good. That was really good. Thank you for sharing that. But now we are going to end the podcast with a hot take. And this is one that I'm just going to do like bold season predictions these year. Because last year at this time, I did the Dodgers were not going to make the playoffs. And lo and behold, they won 100 games. But they didn't win a playoff game.
No.
So how far was I off? To be fair.
Valid.
Sometimes I can't even say this just because, all right, the Yankees will not finish above 500.
Wow.
So with the injuries that are happening with them, they're getting older. I just feel like they're going to struggle in a division that is fairly decent with the Orioles getting better, Toronto still decent, and Tampa being a good team. Boston sucks, but, you know, I think that there is a chance that you guys, I don't think you guys are going to be 60 and 102. I think it'll be like 80 and 82 or, you know, 78 and 84.
That's, and what were you guys last year?
82 and 80, I believe.
Yeah. So,
oh, so you were just there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And they had injuries. Like Judge was out for most of the year. Mm-hmm. But I think because Gerrit Cole is probably gone for the year. That's just my prediction. But
I would not be surprised by that.
No, they generally didn't go, yeah.
Any sort of elbow thing just turns into that. You know, hopefully it's wrong. Yeah. Obviously you want to see him pitch. You want to see great pitchers play, but.
Yeah, their rotation is definitely a question mark with, is Rodon going to be good? Is, you know, is Cortez going to come back and be the pitcher he was 2 years ago? And then who's the other, pitcher? Oh, Stroman. Stroman. He's been decent, but he's been pitching in more, I feel like he's been pitching in more pitcher-friendly parks, but, you know, he fell off last year at the end of the year. So I don't think you got, like, obviously you got Juan Soto. Like, if everything goes well, you guys are going to be a top 10 team easily. But I've already seen the writings on the wall of, like, oh, wow, this could be a down year. So that's my hot take. I honestly hope it doesn't happen, given that I now live with you and I want the Yankees to do well in some ways. But I also don't think that they're going to do well this year. I also think the Phillies are starting to worry me about some things. I don't know.
Please be quiet.
Yeah, I'm gonna be quiet now. So what do you guys think?
I don't think it's that spicy of a hot take.
Okay.
For one, they only finished one game above 500 last year.
But they're the Yankees.
They only finished one game above 500 last year. They got Soto.
Yeah.
But they didn't make, other than that, they didn't make huge changes to their team.
Yeah.
Rodon's still there. Cortez is still there. Their infield's still there developing. You know, you still have Judge. You still have Stanton. And
you don't have Josh Donaldson or Aaron Hicks weighing you down, though.
No, but the rest of the offense did a fine enough job last year doing that. Especially when the death nail of that season came in early June when Aaron Judge stepped on that wall at Dodger Stadium and he was out for 2 months.
Yep.
Because without him, they have zero offense.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, we'll see with Soto, but last year they couldn't hit for crap. I was watching like the top 100 players or something, and they're showing a lot of games there of where the Yankees were losing like 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. And I'm like, they have no offense. The Bronx Bombers, the vaunted Yankees, who have been known for hitting their entire history, can't hit.
Yeah.
And
all the guys are like 32 years old or plus. Like with Rizzo, Stanton, Judge, who else? There's one other guy that's fairly old. Or no, you got rid of Donaldson. That's right.
Yeah.
But Soto's young.
And the injuries, like you said.
Yeah.
There's something else with their athletic training department, because it's amazing how many of these guys got hurt last year in one way or another. It seemed like almost everyone in that lineup got hurt at one point.
Yeah.
And, you know, even people like Stanton, he can't be trusted to be healthy. I think he's playing like half the games or so since he's been again. A Yankee.
And even then he's not healthy. Yeah. He's just there.
Judge was out. You know, you have DJ who's hurt. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to heal him up. But even like in spring training, Judge has been having some health issues.
Yeah.
And people are, when he was not hitting last weekend, people are like, oh, there must be something else going on with him. And then I didn't even start with the pitching yet.
Yeah.
with Cole, which, you know, is a huge, huge bummer for that team. He's the Cy Young Award winner. He's the best pitcher in the American League.
Yeah.
And you don't really have an ace at the top of the rotation, and that affects everything else in that pitching staff.
I wouldn't have done this hot take if it wasn't for Gerrit Cole. So I think he's going to be gone for the year. Anything with the elbow, I've talked with you guys about this a couple times. Yeah.
Andrew Painter. Like, you knew right away.
Yeah.
It was going to be that. But
it's similar to last year where, I mean, now both the pitching and the hitting are top heavy. And I mean, they both, and when it's top heavy and they're good, they do have the potential to, you know, be at least a 90 win team.
Correct. Yeah.
But if it was like last year and the top end of, like the top of that lineup with Rizzo and DJ and Stanton and Judge, all those guys that they just flounder, this team's not going anywhere. Yeah. So I honestly, if things fall apart, I could see them as a below 500 team.
Well, you just said it's not that hot of a take, but the last time they were below 500 was, what, 30-some years ago. Like, so that is, it's still a hot take.
Again,
if it was not a good year, the Yankees are always the Yankees. Like, was the last time they were a bad team?
I understand that you've dealt with, they haven't won the championship since 2009, and we haven't won since 2008.
Yeah.
But we have also experienced teams that have had 60 wins and over 100 losses. You haven't experienced that. So I know that the Yankees have not been the Yankees of old, but it's been a lot. You've been at least watching a team that you can expect to win. There are times when we go to a game like, oh, we're not going to win, but I'm going to go see a player play.
I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to lose 100 games.
No, I'm not saying that either.
But I think they could end up below 500. They almost did last year. That's why, based on what they did last year and what's happening so far this year, I don't see it as much of a hot take. And not historically, because you're talking about from the historical perspective how they've been above 500 for such a long time.
Yeah.
I care about right now.
Yeah.
What are they doing right now?
I guess with their payroll, because they're top three in payroll, right? So that a team with that much payroll should make.
I feel like even the Mets have a higher payroll than the Yankees at this point.
I think after this year, I think because they're still paying Scherzer and Verlander part of their deals, I believe that it is the same amount or very close.
And the Phillies are out there now too. They just signed, Nola to this big contract.
Oh yeah, no, we're. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
And Wheeler.
But we're expected to. If we don't make the playoffs, it's a complete failure. But if we don't make the World Series, it's a failure by this team right now. Like, that's the expectations.
Yeah. Yankees are one, Mets are two, then Houston and Philly and Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's the top
five.
Oh,
yeah, Houston adding Hader, that added to their... Yeah. So, all right. Anything else before we end it? All right. Well, Michael.
Andrew.
I should just say Nichols. Nichols, thank you for joining us. It was a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And well, not Phils. Anytime.
Yeah, true. Yeah, no, we had to let you in. That's true. But yeah, thank you again. I appreciate being here, and we'll definitely try to get more guests on in the future. Just because this was a lot of fun, getting a different perspective with it. I know we've talked about getting Kevin's sister on. We've gotten my dad on. I've even thought about bringing on my nephew, who's 10, just to get a kid on here and add some, a younger perspective. But, my dad being 77, he's 77. Yeah. He grew up with Connie Mack Stadium and all that. So
I'm curious how he would think about my unwritten rules, because I feel like a lot of those are more of an old school thing.
Yeah,
so.
I'll ask him tomorrow. I think I mentioned the 3-0 count. I think he agreed that no, they should hit it.
Okay.
But definitely my dad is more old school.
Yeah,
with
it. Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, let's end it there. So thank you for listening, and we'll catch you later.
Opening day next week.
Oh, that's right. Let's go.
Look forward to that.